Item 4, from the Director, Department of Transportation, providing an informational report regarding data relative to the growing opportunities pass and the overall status of passenger traffic for the Milwaukee County Transit System. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Bang.
Okay, good morning again.
Good morning.
With me this morning is our CFO, and I will let Tim introduce himself for the record, as well as our Director of Paratransit. And the Paratransit office is responsible for the eligibility district determination and processing of the GoPass applications. I anticipate a number of questions, so I wanted to make sure that both individuals were here today. Do you want to just introduce yourself for the record?
Tim Hoche, CFO from Milwaukee Transit.
Tracy Harrington, Director of Paratransit from Milwaukee Transit.
Great.
So, we were charged with performing an analysis of the GoPass program so that we could all have a better understanding of the revenue trends and impacts. There's a lot of good information in this report. I want to hit on some of the highlights so we can get right into the questions. In the first year of the GoPass program, 21,000 GoPasses were processed. 5.3 million GoPass rides were taken. We lost $3 million in revenue. At this point, GoPass is ever increasing in both the passes processed and the rides taken. In May, just last month, over 670,000 GoPass rides were taken, surpassing the most recent high of April, in which 630,000 rides were taken. At the current rate, we will have about 30,000 GoPasses in circulation by year's end, and we will have lost over 4 million this year on GoPass. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Wow. Jesus. Supervisor Mitrievich.
Thank you. Also, thank you for being brief, because I appreciate when we have long meetings like that, like, you know, we've read the report, so we don't need the whole report repeated back. So I really appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So first of all, before I can even digest and ask questions on this report, I question the overall independence of it. I mean, you yourself, as an entity who went on record fighting this entire program when we put it forward, it's kind of hard for me to believe some of the information here. So you mentioned that Sewer PAC and the Office of Comptroller participated in this review, and I guess if anyone's here from those offices, I'd just a nod or whatever, I'd like to know if Comptroller's Office and Sewer PAC you know, have verified this report. I mean, your names are listed. So for me, well, if I can take it, I would like to know if there was some independence. So it's really a direct question, Mr. Comptroller. Did you participate in this report? And have you signed off on it? Do you stand by the information in the report?
I had seen a draft of the report earlier. I wanted to have a discussion regarding it. We didn't have time for a discussion, so I can't say that I fully agree with all the information that's in there. I may, after I have a meeting regarding it, but I'm not there yet.
Okay. Supervisor Mitrievich, there will be a motion to send this back to, keep those this information.
Yep.
Send it back to the controller, send it back to the staff, and also make sure that we bring Sewer PAC in at the same time. There's also a resolution right next to it that has some questions we ask for. So we're trying to work with everybody to make this a win-win situation.
I really appreciate that. I appreciate the accompanying resolution, which I plan on supporting. And therefore, I will limit my questions and comments, but I really wanted to get that on the record. And I think the administration, it would, this is a word my mom uses, behoove you that in the future, let's not put names of entities, especially the independently elected comptroller, on a report when he himself says that they didn't truly participate in this. So, you know, yeah, it's on there. Unless I misread it, but it said, yeah, on the, right under policy, the office in cooperation with the Office of Comptroller's Office. second point, and then I will leave it for when we talk about it next month after we have the resolution asking more questions. The only thing I want to state for the record, because I think let's not get into a deep dive of the GoPass right now, right here. Let's try to go forward with the resolution that's asking for more independent information. But what I just want to plant the seed here, especially for my new colleagues here to my left, is that it's strange to me that when you look at the recommendation or the suggestion that we have an overall decrease in ridership, that the first thing that you look at is the very program that has actually inspired and brought about more ridership. Your own words here talk about over 5 million rides. And again, the revenue that we may or may not be losing is on the half fares of senior citizens and disabled people. In fact, it's just hard for me to see eye to eye philosophically here, because I feel like we should be celebrating. We should be celebrating that many more people have now access to transportation. I mean, that's something to celebrate as a transit system. So it's just really hard to meet in the middle. And the only other point I wanted to point out was that in the report, it states that only $1 million of your significant ridership decline and fare decrease can be attributed, unless I misread it, to the loss of half fares, right? So GoPass people, disabled and elderly folks, if they were riding without GoPass, would be paying half fare. And what you're saying in your report is that $1 million can be attributed, the loss, to the loss of the half fares. So what I leave you with is that we've got a big problem here that we do need to come together and solve. And the administration and the transit system have a much bigger issue than just the GoPass. There's a severe decline in ridership and revenue, and you can easily put it on GoPass, but you also need to come up with some suggestions of how we can save our transit system and be creative. And I hope it's on inspiring more ridership and maybe making it more accessible. So I do support the accompanying resolution that we'll talk about, because I think it helps get some answers and ask for answers from you all who we've hired to manage the system. I think you need to come up with some ideas along with the administration. So those are just the only things that I wanted to point out. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thanks for us, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In terms of open transparency, I want to disclose that I have a GoPass. And I have a GoPass because I am a disabled combat veteran. And if I was just elderly, I would not use the GoPass. And I don't use it very often. I think it's a wonderful, marvelous benefit for our Milwaukee County residents. But I do want everyone to realize that as a disabled veteran, I have a right to this. And it is a benefit that I have, and I don't feel ashamed or embarrassed at all. It's I'm proud to be a veteran, and I just want everyone to know I have a GoPass. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm honored that you serve our country. I'm honored that you keep my freedom free. Supervisor Washington.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a few questions about some of the terminology and just your comments just at the beginning here of the methodology of how you're claiming a loss, because you mentioned 22,000 GoPasses were issued. Of that, do we know how many were previous riders that were paying a fare versus how many of those 22,000 people are new riders?
We did not survey people coming in the door as to whether they were previously riders or not. I think one can make a very strong case that the first person in line to get a GoPass is going to be the person that's currently using the bus, because they see the value in having that transportation for free versus being paid for. For instance, we have over 100,000 senior citizens in this county. They didn't all line up for a GoPass. That speaks more to the case that these likely were pre-existing riders. We did lose the $1 million in the half fare category. We describe this revenue loss as conservative because it's highly likely that the other riders also were existing riders and they were not paying a half fare. They were paying the full fare, which is why we are seeing such a severe revenue drought.
Well, just
and I think that's a fair that's a fair viewpoint to take. We had a program that was similar to GoPass called Half Fare Program that permitted people to pay a half fare. There were only two ways you could step on a bus and pay half fare. You could show a plastic ID card that we issued at our offices that confirmed that you were eligible for a half fare, or you could show a government-issued Medicare card. We had only issued about 6,500 half fare cards in the last many years, a decade maybe. So what that tells me is there was not a large pool of individuals out there that were paying the half fare rate. We created a very attractive fare form. We created incentive to come down and get something for free. People might not have felt inclined to come down to get that half fare card because half price wasn't enough incentive. But they sure came down to get it for free, and they had the full support and backing of the various social service agencies that work with senior citizens, that work with persons with disabilities, that work with certain members to help inform them. The GoPass became just another one of the basket of services that care workers, caseworkers help line up for individuals. So it looks to me as a transit professional that we didn't bring in 21,000 new people that never rode the bus before. We brought in a high percentage of people that were previously on the bus, either paying half fare or paying full fare. And we now have a serious revenue issue because of the program. And I just want to emphasize, you can characterize my past opposition as fighting the program. Yes, I predicted and I dreaded this loss of revenue situation. I shared those concerns. They were largely ignored. What we didn't fight is implementation. We rolled this program out as professionals, as designed. We've been good shepherds of the program. We've done everything the right way because that's how we do transit. We do it the right way.
You have the floor, sir.
Thank you. The problem with your analysis is you're claiming that there's no new ridership that was from it. That's the problem I have. You have 21,000 people have these passes. Now, by your own admission, you have no idea whether or not 10,000 people were riders before and we've attracted 11,000 new ones, yet you're then going to take this giant leap of faith and claim that everybody was riding before. It's just, that's not the, that's just not the appropriate methodology that you're supposed to be, to have an honest evaluation of this. Of course, there's new riders that people who never rode the bus before because it was free. They were like, hey, the bus is free. I've never ridden the bus. I'm going to ride it now. That could be one person. That could be 10,000 people. We don't know. So for you to then make the accusation that it's cost us millions of dollars when we have no idea how many new riders are there, or even if they would have just said, you know what, because the cost of riding a bus is too high and I'm not going to do it. So those people were lost riders anyway. Those were empty seats. It doesn't cost you a dime to fill an empty seat. So an empty seat, whether it's got a person riding for nothing or empty, is the same exact cost to the company. and that's where you have to figure out how this is affecting you. You can't just make these wild accusations on stuff. There has to be some method to the madness here on how you reach these conclusions, because otherwise you're not going to be able to formulate a strategy about, you know, what should be the appropriate fare structure going forward, and what could your recommendations be in the next report on stuff. So that's my question on there, that you just can't assume that every one of these 21,000 people is now lost revenue. There's a weighted kind of adjustment that needs to be looked at, and that's what I think needs to be addressed.
Thank you, Senator Taylor.
Thank you, Chair. On the GoPass, I would like to say my mom is a proud user of the GoPass. She has several health issues along with having two knee replacements, so she walks on the cane. She does utilize the bus, and she utilized it before the GoPass, but this definitely, for someone who was on a limited income, is a godsend to her. Also, yesterday I was in a restaurant or somewhere, and people were talking, and somehow the GoPass came up, and the lady was telling a gentleman how it was definitely a blessing to be able to get to where she needed to go. Being disabled, it made it hard for her, and to be able to catch a cab was costly at times, so the GoPass allowed her to get to appointments or other places around the city. Also, I agree with Washerman that if the seats were empty and more people are riding the bus, then it definitely didn't decrease the amount of money that was paid on the bus, because the seats were filled. Now people who are in need of getting to places are able to utilize the bus with this GoPass. So I'm definitely am in agreement with it. Thank you, Chair.
Senator Washington,
I think, could you, on overall ridership, are we up, down, sideways?
We are down, most recently looking at April numbers, about 5.5% this year compared to last year. We've had declines of about 4 to 4.5% for the last couple of years, as we've seen gas prices hit some really record lows, as we've seen the introduction of Uber and the TNCs that were much of the conversation earlier. These trends are being experienced by transit systems nationwide, and we've probably, as a county transit system, seen some of these trends before. We've weathered those storms. We are doubly hindered by the lack of revenue produced by things such as the supervisor saying her mom used to use the bus and pay the fare, and she now doesn't. I think it's terrific that she doesn't have to pay the fare now, but if we don't have these millions of dollars in revenue, we're not going to be able to operate as many buses. We're not going to be able to keep the fares the same for everybody that's paying. And everybody that's paying is now under 80%. Every fifth person that steps on the bus is for free. That's GoPass. That's what's happening with the ridership out there.
Right. Okay. Well, the point being is the overall trend is going down. Ridership is going down, which means there's more open, empty seats on the bus. You are losing that revenue regardless if there was somebody with a crutch or not. So to once again put that on the ridership of on the GoPass, I think is wrong. You, once again, you're running a bus with an empty seat. Whether that person is a disabled person riding for free in that seat, if your overall trend is going down and you're having more and more open seats, to try and claim it's because that person with a disability is there, just doesn't make any sense. And that's where you can't just assume because a person has the GoPass that they were an everyday rider previously.
on that. When you talk about this, who's actually, in charge of making the decisions on, you could say, different strategies on the fares? I just opened up the paper the other day that says you're giving away free rides to Summerfest or something like that.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Bain, can you answer your question?
You asked me a question about free rides to Summerfest. There are no free rides to Summerfest that I'm aware of.
Should I say the discounted fare? Like I said, the county exec just had a press release that said something about the rides.
There are free Summerfest tickets. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
Summerfest is partnering with us to give free tickets, free daytime tickets. They distribute many of those throughout the community. These would be the $12 weekday only, noon to 4 p.m. If you come in at 4:30, it's $20. So they're partnering with us to try to get some individuals to come to Summerfest a little bit earlier, probably to spread out some of the entering and loading at Summerfest. But yes, that
it's. But it's a reduced fare. I thought there was something on a reduced fare that you get a dollar off and a free ticket or something. There's a startup company that.
So we have a discount through the M-Card, and that helps with faster boarding time at the park ride lots, which is a benefit to everybody, including the transit system. It cuts down on the numbers of buses that are required to move the same amount of people, and it's a better measure of customer service. We've introduced a e-ticketing system that mirrors the price point of the M-Card so that we can have faster boarding time than people inserting six $1 bills and 50 cents with a line of 60 people behind them and spend more time loading the bus full of people than it takes to make the trip down there. That adds to operating costs. That adds to poor customer service. So we're doing what we can to introduce a new technology that, depending on the loading conditions, we may be able to enter passengers from the rear door rather than just the front door. We're anticipating this is going to help with our overall operating costs.
But you made the decision to reduce fares on that special, I guess you call it.
We are providing the service, yes.
But I mean, we could turn out that your experiment may have cost us millions of dollars, and that's why I don't recall receiving any report or analysis on this type of things. So I just want to know, like I said, what our decision making structure is here, and it seems to be okay from the management that we can give discounts to people who want to get drunk down at the lakefront, but it's somehow a huge imposition to give somebody who's disabled, a free ride to the grocery store. So I think, we need to reset our priorities on some stuff.
Okay. Sue F. Taylor, did you want to respond?
Absolutely. When I stated that my mom took the bus, she did take it before the free ride, not consistently. And it was at times where I was not allowed to leave work to take her places or to reimburse her for the bus fare because she was on a limited income. So you can basically say I pay for the bus fare.
Thank you, Supervisor.
Thank you.
Okay. This also come back so we get a better help.
Sure.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did want to refer this informational report. I'd like to make the motion to the Office of Comptroller as well as County Board staff. Or was it just Comptroller?
The Comptroller.
Okay, Office of Comptroller, please.
We have a motion to refer those items to the Comptroller for his analysis and also steer back to get theirs because we want to make sure everyone understands what's going on. Any other questions? If not, Mr. Chairman, Sir Brent.
Chairman. I just have a few quick questions. Are there any income requirements or limitations regarding who qualifies for a GoPass?
No.
Would you agree that it's conceivable that senior citizens and disabled people who can actually afford to pay the fare have obtained GoPasses?
Yes.
Would you also agree that if, let's say, you owned a movie theater and you allowed people to sit in the empty seats to watch the movie without paying, that you would consider that foregone income?
If I had blockbuster movies once or twice a month, the seats would not be empty. So it definitely would be foregone income if we weren't allowed to collect those movie tickets from those individuals on those blockbuster evenings. And we have many routes that are very packed with riders. That was before, that's during, and that's after GoPass.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have a motion to refer this to staff so we're back to make sure that we have an independent analysis? Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
On the motion that item number four be referred to the Office of the Comptroller and Sewer PAC, Supervisors Wyshon Jr.
Aye.
Dmitrievich.
Aye.
Sartori.
Aye.
Sebring.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
Six ayes, zero noes, the motion prevails.
Item number five, please.